Hello everyone, I'm George from Ireland. Well, thank you for coming back to my channel. I'm commenting on some by-election results from North Britain. Obviously, by-elections throughout the United Kingdom were always held on Thursday. So Aberdeen South was a real stunner, and that was the first Conservative gain at a by-election in Scotland for 50 years. So Douglas Lumsden, he gained the seat from the Scottish National Party. Of course, SNP, they've been in office at Holyrood level since 2007. Just won their, is it fifth consecutive Holyrood election? Now, Stephen Flynn was a Member of Parliament. He's now been elected to the Scottish Parliament. So there's a rule against the double mandate. He was obliged to step down as MP for that constituency at Westminster, become Steward and Great Chamberlain of the Chiltern Hundreds. There's this legal fiction that MPs can't resign. What they can do is get an office of profit under the crown, which renders them ineligible to still be an MP, and that's the way they get out of it. So that triggered a by-election, and it was a stunning result for the Conservatives. So some Scotland watchers saw this coming. I'm afraid they didn't pay close enough attention. But the Conservative Party went very hard on oil and gas because, Aberdeen's had city status for centuries, a university for centuries, but it was mostly a fishing town until the 70s when North Sea oil began to pump, and it became a boom town. Direct flights to Azerbaijan, some of the Aberdonian oil men also work in Baku. All right, so brought a lot of money into northeast Scotland, otherwise an economically depressed area. And then the Labour government is refusing to grant new drilling license for oil and gas in the North Sea. I think extant exploitation can continue. So people are very worried about that, dragging the whole area under with this fixation with net zero. I mean, I agree that net zero is a noble aim, but it's not achievable under the certain time frame, and it certainly do a lot of economic self-harm. And Ed Miliband, he's the Energy Secretary, is absolutely monomaniacal about this one. The United Kingdom's got some of the highest energy costs in the world, and that hits everybody in the wallet. It's very regressive because whether rich or poor, you need energy. There's a certain level of energy below which you can't survive turning on the heat and turn on the lights. And obviously, for manufacturing, for most industries, that is a major overhead. So they'll buy oil and gas from Russia now, despite the war, but they won't. The UK won't buy oil and gas from the UK. Are you mad? Okay, it'll buy the oil and gas is being produced in the current oil fields, gas fields, but it won't allow exploitation of new ones, which is preposterous. By all means, I would say put wind turbines everywhere, solar turbines everywhere. I'm very happy with that. But until that can provide all the United Kingdom's energy needs, should go for oil and gas. And that message really resonated. The Conservatives were committed to net zero. I mean, I think in principle still are, just pushing back the date. They pushed it back 5 years under Rishi Sunak. Needs to be pushed back further. So Kemi Badenoch went to campaign and it succeeded. Now the Prime Minister, Sir Keir Starmer, didn't go there. There's a convention against Prime Ministers doing so. Now that's not a law. Tony Blair campaigned in the Edisbury by-election. When Sir Alistair good lad, the Conservative went up to be High Commissioner to Australia, Labour narrowly failed to gain the seat. But they tried to show there were no such things as a no-go area for Labour. Now, Starmer didn't go. He didn't want to destroy the chances of his candidate up there. Likewise, Burden told him to stay away from Makerfield. That would have been a gift to the other party. But anyway, so the Conservatives are very, very pleased. It's the one ray of hope, an otherwise very grim landscape for the Conservative Party, a drubbing in the Holyrood elections. Okay, nobody thought the Conservatives were ever going to win, or even the main opposition, but like I said, like fifth place, very poorly in Wales. Performed very weakly in the local elections across South Britain as well. So that is a resounding victory. So something that she can take pride in, although obviously not particularly to do with Kemi Badenoch, because of course there's a leader of the Scottish Conservative Unionist Party. It's more about Holyrood issues, perhaps, even though it's an election to Westminster. People don't completely compartmentalise. Ultimately, the authority to exploit these oil and gas fields come from Westminster, not from Holyrood. And so we go on. So you see the breakdown of the results. The Conservatives with almost 50% of the vote, the SNP 41% of the vote, Labour humiliated. Did they even save their deposit with 5%? Labour, just over 5%, sorry. Reform United Kingdom, 8.6%, and so on. What am I talking about? So and then the Scottish National Party under Richard Thompson in Aberdeen South, they got 29%. I mean, Aberdeenshire and Aberdeen itself have always been, well, since the 80s, fairly strong areas of the Conservative Party. It's only Aberdeenshire and the Scottish borders the Conservative Party's had a serious presence. Very feeble in Glasgow. Haven't had a seat in Glasgow since 1983. Haven't had a seat in Edinburgh since 1997. And much of the rest of Scotland, very weak as well. And that the Liberal Democrats, they're only 4%, the Green Party only 4%, and that was it. Okay, but then you look at the Arbroath and Broughty Ferry, same story. Scottish National Party MP elected as a member of the Scottish Parliament, and so obliged to stand aside. All right, so Lara Bird held it for the Scottish National Party, with the Conservatives coming second, but the you know they're way out in front. There are Arbroath and Broughty Ferry, so it's a smallish town in mid Scotland. So she got almost 10,000 votes, and the Conservative Jack Cruickshanks got 4,500. Reform UK narrowly behind him. Okay, Labour only 3,600. The Liberal Democrats are very poor showing, 1,400, and that was a very low turnout, 31%. One thing about the Aberdeen South by-election, it was 38% turnout, so relatively high, but a huge swing, 15% from the Scottish National Party to the Conservatives. Not something they can necessarily replicate. So, goodness, what do you think? All right, so those are the by-election results. So the SNP don't need to be too worried right now. I reckon their honeymoon will evaporate quite quickly because there were a lot of problems. They were failing on multiple fronts, on policing, on unemployment, on benefits, on education, on healthcare, on transport. So they're taking their ball to different part of the beach. They're going to tub thump about independence, about another referendum. But that's only going to work for so long, especially when the referendum doesn't materialise, because it can't, because the United Kingdom Supreme Court says this can only happen if Westminster grants permission. Both Labour and the Conservatives, and indeed the Liberal Democrats and Reform UK, say, nah, no way, we'll never ever grant it. That's it. 2014, settle for all time. Everybody agreed this is forever, right? And so, okay, the SNP might hold an illegal referendum anyway, but then in a Catalonia situation, as it happened in Catalonia in 2018, that referendum, despite the decision to leave, that was held to be a nullity. Catalonia is still very much part of Spain, and that's ebbed away. And the soft separatists in Catalonia have just shrugged and just given up. There's still a few head cases, so it'll bang on it, and the same might happen for them. It'd be a waste of money, a waste of time. It'd be an embarrassment, it'd be a distraction, and it wouldn't actually change anything, especially as the SNP are determined to get back into the European Union. And Scotland's, and so Spain said, we would always veto Scotland. We would never, ever allow a separate Scotland into the European Union, ever. And remember, the 27 EU member states, all 27 have to agree to Scottish accession. And it's not just Spain might veto them, there might be other ones who would veto them. So that is a pipe dream. Actually, Scotland stands a better chance of getting back into the European by say, you know, by saying within the United Kingdom, because of course there are plenty of people in the Labour Party and almost everyone in the Liberal Democrats who want the United Kingdom to rejoin. I don't think it's going to happen in the foreseeable future. It might happen in 10 years or 20 years, and I'm not going to predict beyond that. That would be rash. All right. So, what do you think were the main takeaways from this by-election? These by-elections were Labour, you know, piss poor performance by Labour, you know, doing very badly. Anna Sawar should go. She should go back to dental practice. He's failed as leader of the Scottish Labour Party. Of course, if he does, then the case for Starmer going is even stronger. Or indeed, if Starmer resigns, pressure will pile on Mr. Sawar. Thanks for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon. Donate to PayPal, georgecallan79@gmail.com. Goodbye.